live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my co-host with the mo-host here, Mr. Corey Banky, my partner in crime here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog, as always, is the esteemed Brian Caravu. We are joined by the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Jamie George and John Rahor from our fan blog here at Cheesehead TV, Eat More Cheese. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what's on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight will be the co-host with the mo-host, everyone's favorite Packers show, ESPN Milwaukee's Jason Wilde. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Devon House.
Making a claim before he got injured.
Nick Perry.
Cutting the angle to the quarterback.
DJ Smith.
Making claim before he's forced into action.
And we got the bad. We got James Starks.
Playing so bad and getting hurt that they had to sign another running back.
Graham Harrell.
Other than the two-minute drill, not so great.
M.D. Jennings.
Bad angles, bad tackling, not a way to win a job.
And we got the ugly. We got
a plethora of things. Tackling, fumbles, injuries, all of it ugly. And that was your preseason week one game against the Chargers on San Diego. Corey Banky, how the heck are you?
Oh, my goodness. Almost didn't have a show again.
It just wouldn't be Packer Transplants unless there was a computer meltdown.
Special number 100. I can't
a half
believe
hour
maybe
before
they
the show.
Can't hear us. Let me check.
Well, Corey's a little tense here. They can hear us. That's a live.
That's good.
Everyone can hear us. They can see us. Probably want to do a little bit more of the first, a little less of the second, but that's all right.
I hope people like the new intro.
A little new intro. What's that about?
Took me like 4 days. Can't tell.
4 days and there's like three little tiny things different, but that's all right.
You'll notice we are on the new live stream, which is the hotness in and of itself. Soon, next week, we're going to have even crazier stuff.
Every week, or 2 weeks, because next week I'm in Cape Cod. But
well, there
anyway, there
weeks.
It is, in 2 weeks. So, Corey, how are you? How was your off season?
I don't know. I just got back on Twitter like 2 weeks ago.
I know. It was an explosion of activity. What did you think of that first preseason game?
I didn't mind it. You know how I feel.
We go old school here. Preseason means nothing.
Nothing.
For those of you just joining us for the first time, preseason, don't pay attention to the game.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the players. Pay attention to the performances individually. But do not pay attention to the overall game,
game
plans.
Pay attention to the writers at Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, there you go. That's an excellent idea. Including Mr. Brian Caravu. Zachary, our new addition, blowing it up.
Yeah, just handling his business.
And Jamie and John at Eat More Cheese. I mean, you really can't go wrong. Max giving us stuff from behind enemy lines over there in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, getting a Vikings training camp as a Cheesehead TV blogger.
Hey, and
good times.
And breaking news. I was in the Lambeau press box for the first time.
Oh!
Family night.
Wow.
A little breaking some ground here at Cheesehead TV.
You're like almost legit.
Oh, not quite. Not really. All right, let's talk a little Packers football. The other big news this week, I guess, is the signing of Cedric Benson. What did you think of that, Corey Banky? Mr. Free Agency.
What's not to like? When Ted Thompson is in the free agency, good things happen.
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. For the most part, yeah, that's true.
It's rare, and when it happens,
it's usually good.
Just live with it.
What I just loved is that, and we'll discuss this a little bit later with our good friend Jason Wilde, who will be joining us.
I cannot believe Jason Wilde's coming on the show. After all the things I say to him on Twitter.
Well, that's the thing. You just got to lighten up on Wilde a little
bit.
What
are you talking about?
You just
got to
lighten
up a
little
bit. I'm so light on Wilde. He's just very sensitive.
But he's sensitive, but you also give him cause to be. So
it's fun, though. We will discuss the
signing of Cedric Benson with Jason Wilde. I know there was some sentiment about why didn't the Packers get Ryan Grant. I think Jason Wilde kind of led that charge. But we'll talk about it. I think Wilde's kind of turned around on that. And I think a lot of other people have, too. So it'll be interesting to talk about that. The other big news, T.J. Lang. Contract extension.
Nice.
$5.5 million signing bonus. Going to buy his mom a house. I loved he was talking. They quoted him. I think it was, I read it in the Journal Sentinel this morning or yesterday. He admitted he did too much partying early on in his career. A little too much. Said he was a regular down bars there in downtown Green Bay. Not that we know anything about that. And that he admitted as much. He admitted he needed a swift kick in the butt, and he got it. And it's really turned him around. And God bless him, because he's forming a pretty lethal tandem there inside with sitting on the right side, Lang on the left, and now we've got Jeff Saturday for a year. You got to figure a year or two.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday.
Got to love that. So the one big concern, obviously, is that left tackle. I mean, the way Herb Taylor and that the rookie Datko, however you want to say it, the way he played, I mean, whoever thought Packer fans would be clamoring for Marshall Newhouse? After all the crap kid took last year. Oh, Marshall Newhouse, he's so awful. Oh, he's so terrible. Oh, wait, he's your savior now. I just find that. I know a lot of people have come around to Marshall Newhouse, but he did take an inordinate amount of crap last year. And I'm very happy that to see that he's back in the field the last couple of days.
See.
He's back in pads. He's supposed to play tomorrow night, hopefully. So, yes, we will see. Greg Jennings. Still out with a concussion.
I don't even want to talk about it.
What's going on?
Stop talking about it.
I mean, I'm all for, you know, you got to be cautious. The new, I guess, what do you call it? The new protocol.
If we don't talk about it, then we'll just see him at practice and everything will be fine.
Everything will be okay. As I tweeted out last Thursday night, right before the game started, they are working on a contract extension with Greg Jennings. It'll be interesting to see if they can get it done before the season begins. I think that's the goal. But you got to think they're looking at Jennings, they're looking at Matthews, maybe Raji, and then there's the big whale. There's Aaron Rodgers to get done after Drew Brees signed his monster deal. Got to think Aaron Rodgers is in for a humongo payday.
Pay the man.
Humongo being the operative word there.
You just need to pay the man.
Who do you? What's your order? What's your order of who you pay? Of that quartet I just listed. What's your order of how you pay them?
Rodgers.
Right. Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Rodgers. Okay, Rodgers, and then who? Give me your list. Don't be shy. We've been away a little while, but we can stir it up a little bit.
It's the preseason.
I know, but let's talk about something else. Let's talk about signing guys up, locking guys down.
I heard in my brain.
So, Rodgers.
I'm thinking of Greg Jennings with a concussion
Jennings,
right now.
Right? Jennings?
Yes.
And then, so, Raji or Matthews next?
No, I think Rodgers, Matthews, Raji, Jennings.
There, really? So, Jennings is the least concerning to you.
Yes. And keep six receivers.
Well, so we need to get some guys healthy first before we're keeping six or seven receivers.
Just keep six receivers.
All right.
I want to just play the. I want to just take it to the next
level
conclusion, right? If you're going to have this offense,
right.
Just take it to the next.
Just do it, man.
Logical
let's
conclusion.
Just, let's just have like, just heck, we're paying these guys so
Why
much
are we
money.
Even running the ball? That's what I don't understand.
You know. That's a great question, and that was actually later in the script, but I'm glad you jumped to it now. It's Transplants. We're back. So running the ball. Earlier in the offseason, Greg Jennings went on NFL Network and said, well, number one, you know, priority, we got to run the ball better. And then a couple weeks later, Aaron Rodgers was on NFL Network, and Andrew Siliano, the host, asked him, will you be able to run the ball better? Can you run the ball in 2012? And Aaron Rodgers answered with, do we need to?
There you go. I would say no.
Oh, little short segue off of that very subject. Last night, Hard Knocks, Mike Sherman calling plays from the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill throws a touchdown pass. I kid you not. I don't know if you saw this. Mike Sherman says, not one run in that whole drive. I've been watching too much Packers tape. Love it.
Nice.
Line of the night. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Mike Sherman was brilliant.
Why run when you can win?
Thank you. Hey, did you just make that up?
Yeah, I'm going to put it on this
T-shirt. I'm going to put that on a T-shirt. That's a Cheesehead TV's T-shirt. Right here, right now. That's awesome.
There you go.
Why run when you can win? Oh, that's a hashtag on Twitter. I love it. Why run when you can win? Indeed. Especially when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
There's really no point. Just protect the man, you know?
Well, hey.
Use your runners to protect the man. I'm all down for that.
So then why do you... Well, that's a conversation for later. But, okay, so we're talking Greg Jennings, concussion. We don't want to think about it. But pull back a little bit. What's up with all the injuries? I mean, they've got like... They went from, I think they had like 19 guys. And then
it's
they had
the
like
preseason.
18 guys. Yeah, but...
It's the preseason.
Mike McCarthy even said he's never been through something like this
I'd rather have injuries now than later.
I love how you're able to, like, just break it down to its essence.
Listen, people. Well, okay. Every year this happens.
You can't just say.
It's the preseason.
You can't just
Who
say.
Who cares?
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. That's a really boring show.
I know.
That's an hour of Corey saying he doesn't care. So then why are they watching you if you don't care?
But don't you think?
What's the point? Because, why should they even tune in?
Because, okay, all I'm trying to do is, don't you think that it's better if there were more Packer fans? Okay?
Like you?
No.
I think it'd be a scary place.
I'm not trying to have any acolytes or anything. Listen, wouldn't it be a better situation if people, like, I'm just as rabid. I'm just as passionate about it.
No.
But... Right. It's like, step back, and who cares? Like, I care about it. I know what's happening, but I'm not going to, like, you guys need stuff to tweet about every second.
I hear. Well, dude, yeah.
You're just playing into the media, man.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've kind of become part of the media.
I don't know if
you notice, I kind of get paid for it now.
The 100th
that's
show.
That's my day job.
The 100th show.
Is when you lost it.
No, that's when I just, you know.
Oh, so yeah. Here we go. Now, going by the script, we've already talked about two of the three bullet points on our offense part. So let's just skip to, without Jennings or Finley, can Cobb and Nelson step up? I mean, last year everyone was like, all right, Jennings is out, no problem. We have Finley. Well, then Finley was out last week along with Jennings, and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson didn't do a whole lot. I mean, Nelson picked up a third down. Cobb caught a couple balls, but they weren't exactly dominant.
Yeah, but this is Cobb's second year, right?
Yes.
So it takes
expecting a big explosion.
It takes three, though, for wide receivers.
That's a couple years ago. Now, in today's NFL, he should be exploding this
year. Oh, yeah?
He's going to explode
this year.
So now
it's 2 years?
Yes, absolutely.
Who? Says Aaron Nagler.
Says Aaron Nagler. Hey, man, if A.J. Green can come and do what he did last year for Cincinnati as a rookie... Randall Cobb should be able to explode this year in this offense.
Not buying that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you better buy it. Get some extra sweetener, too.
I want it to be, but I don't know that I can buy it. It takes 3 years.
You know what
I
love?
That third year when they, like, everything comes together. It's like, you know, you got your objective, you've got your work ethic, you've got your maturity, you've got what you're really in for and what the pros are all about.
Did you just say Randall Cobb is immature?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
I'm going to start some junk with you and Randall Cobb.
As an athlete.
I hear you.
That's why wide receivers. That's not an easy position.
I hear you. Okay, so now here we go. Here's a point I wanted to make. I found this very interesting. You see, you keep looking. We're fine. We're fine.
I'm reading what people are saying.
You are such a nerd. Now I've totally lost my train of thought. Anyway, I have no idea. It doesn't matter. So, yeah. Flip the script. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
There you go.
A lot of new bodies.
I think some good things are going to happen.
A lot of guys flying around.
I'm excited about the cornerbacks.
This is the watchword this year, I've noticed. Both, it started with the coaching staff and now has filtered its way into the media. A lot of juice on the defensive side of the ball.
A lot of juice.
That was it. It started at the combine.
That's funny.
All the coaches and the scouts were talking about needing juice on the defensive, especially in the front seven.
What does that even mean?
Getting to the quarterback, like, basically. Really, it's kind of a cloudy term for we need somebody who doesn't get stood up at the line of scrimmage.
we need
the quarterback sit back there for, 5 minutes while he picks out a receiver.
That's funny.
A lot of juice, but a lot of parts that have to be figured out, and that's obviously what the next couple of preseason games are for. What I love is that there are seriously, here are the guys in, I guess, the running for the starting cornerback position opposite your man Tremont. Sam Shields.
Yes.
Devon House, even though he's injured, as is Sam Shields. Jarrett Bush.
Yes.
Hayward, the rookie. And Brandon Ross got a shout out from his coach.
Wow.
Saying that he's in the mix. What? I mean, Devon House, he got injured. That's really unfortunate. Hopefully, he's back in
Wasn't
a couple
Devon
weeks.
Wasn't Devon House having the best camp, though?
He was having a great camp, and he had a fantastic game last week.
Yeah.
Every time I'd hear a tweet about a cornerback, it was like Devon House and Tremont Williams.
You hear tweets?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I have this little thing. It's like Siri, and it plays tweets.
Awesome. That's great. Is that in your head, or is that a piece
it's
of
in the
software?
Chip. There's a chip right there.
Oh. So, all these guys at corner... You've got to figure they get someone, as long as it's not Jarrett Bush. I think that most Packer fans would agree. I think Jarrett Bush is your dime back. That's great. Let him play some special teams, even better. But you got to improve. If Jarrett Bush is your starting corner, you got some problems. camps.
Yeah.
Got some issues.
I don't like hating on Jared Bush in training camp.
I'm not hating on him. No, I'm being realistic.
I don't have good feelings about Jared Bush, and so I feel like this. I shouldn't hate on him during training camp.
Because he'll have plenty of opportunity to later.
Maybe this will be the year it all clicks, and it all happens, and he's in the prime.
We've been saying that for a while now, a couple years now.
What else can you do, really?
Speaking of defense, and as we were earlier, injuries, Desmond Bishop.
Yeah.
Going down. Time for DJ Smith to step up. I said this on Twitter the other night, and I took untold amounts of heat for it, so I'll say it here again so I can take some more heat on the live blog, because that's what I like to do. Desmond Bishop is their best linebacker, and I am including Clay Matthews in that claim.
I would go with that, but I will say that Nick Perry should negate the Bishop. I know it's not the same position.
I hear it. You're talking overall juice.
Yeah.
The juice quotient will be okay.
I guess that's what I'm talking
because
about.
Because Nick Perry is there.
Yeah, it's like,
up the juice quotient.
I mean, that's the upside, right?
Yeah, well, you've got Nick Perry. Got Desmond Moses playing pretty well there, the undrafted rookie. You got guys. Brad Jones. Brad Jones having a camp. Mm-hmm. Having a couple interceptions this past week. Making some noise. Not too shabby. Our boy, who famously came on this program and then the next day was put on injured reserve and will probably never come back on this show again.
Yeah, let's not talk about all the people that got injured after they did this show. I don't think that's a good plan.
May I mention that all those guys were on IR while they won a Super Bowl?
There you go.
It's the Cheesehead TV bump.
Still waiting for a ring.
I know, right? I thought we were supposed to get, like, proxy rings. Oh, no, we could buy them for, like, you know, thousands of dollars if we wanted to, which we didn't want to.
I'd rather have a website.
Okay. Everybody wants to know, over under Packers in 2012.
16-0.
I didn't even give the over under yet.
Oh.
I was going to say 11 wins. Over or under?
Over.
Yeah, there you go. See, I don't even know why I ask you.
16-0. 19-0.
Yeah.
That's how it's done, son.
That's how it is? Really? I mean, but really, really.
Really?
Really.
Really. What did we go last year?
15-1.
What do we need to do to be better than last year?
A little bit better in the pass rush.
19-0. That's what you got to do, baby. As soon as you do six. Now, okay, I would rather, if we got to go 11 and something.
Right.
As long as we win in the playoffs.
Thank you.
I can't have this happen anymore. I'm done with that.
You're done with it.
Done with it.
Over, under, I got to say just over. I got to say 12-4. I think they lose at Chicago. I think they lose at Houston, and two other losses that are inexplicable, Mike McCarthy, like, just, kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, last year it didn't happen because the offense just kind of totally bailed them out. But you got to think there's going to be some kind of...
But you got to think the offense is going to do that again, though.
Well, you'd like
What's
to think so.
Them? The only thing stopping the Packers is Aaron Rodgers' body.
Yes, that's true. Something happening, something... Unspeakable.
Yes, with that,
we're not going to say it.
That shall not be named.
And then you got Graham Harrell.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Here's the thing with Harrell. Here's the thing with Harrell. I have been a long time Harrell defender. So when he played relatively, I'm not going to say poorly, but less than inspiring football on last Thursday night, you know, I just had to slow down some of the haters. I mean, yeah, you got to expect that he's going to not be wonderful. But he's going to, like, you know, make a little noise. Corey's pushing and pulling me. I don't know what's going on. No one's watching, so just tell me which way to go.
Graham Harrell sucks. Why are we talking about Graham Harrell? Oh, that's right.
It's the preseason.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait.
Cannot wait to not talk about Graham
Harrell. So last year we were saying, or like 2 years ago, you were saying Matt Flynn sucked.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay.
So, remember? Just so we're on the same trajectory. Jason Woolley was on the show.
Yeah.
We basically had an argument about whether Matt Flynn was good or not.
Oh, gosh.
And the jury's still out. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves.
I think Matt Flynn's a good quarterback.
That's fine. You think. Everybody thinks. The media thinks.
And
but
you think.
The jury is still out.
Yes, I agree.
You got to win games. Got to win a playoff.
Absolutely.
Hello.
I agree.
You want to, you know.
First, let's start with him winning the starting job out there in Seattle. And then we'll see.
There's a Jets quarterback you can talk to that we can talk about, like, what you got to do to keep your job.
Let's not. We're in New York. We hear it enough. I don't want to talk about it. Good Lord, if anybody wants to talk about it or read about it or hear about it, they can turn on ESPN
anytime they want. Or they can talk
to Andrew Garda. Is he here tonight? I haven't seen him on the live blog. I have no idea. Look at all these people commenting. This is like people commenting and watching, and it's kind of scary.
Okay, what's next on the agenda here?
That's it. We've talked about it all. We got to talk to Wildy in like 5 minutes.
Wildy.
I mean,
so
really.
Should we take a break and call him and come back?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right.
All right, people. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jason Wildy from ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, whatever they're calling it these days. So stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live with Mr. Green and Gold today. It's ESPN Milwaukee's own Jason Wildy. How are you tonight, Jason?
I thought you were going to introduce Bill Johnson there for a second.
Easy. Easy. No Gallagher Brothers-like rivalries here, my friend. We love you all equally.
You guys are looking particularly handsome this evening.
It's some extra CGI that Corey had flown in.
You know what Al Harris would say about Corey's shirt, though?
Uh-oh. What's that?
He would say that's a schmedium. The cross between a small and a medium, it's a schmedium.
There you go.
I only know that because he said it to me back when I used to wear shirts that were a little more form-fitting.
A little more form-fitting. That's one way to put it. Hey, speaking of Al Harris, what about that Jason Witt news with a lacerated spleen? That's bring back some memories for you.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly he's able to play after that.
Yeah, right. So, flipping it back to Green Bay here. Let's talk some Cedric Benson, shall we?
Wait, you're actually going to – I'm not used to going on shows that are about the Packers where they spend the whole time talking about the Packers.
I know. Sorry. Try and keep up, okay? I know you're
– All right.
It's going to be a little faster, a little more topical than you're used to, Packers-centric-wise.
Yes.
Cedric
Benson. I was actually going to say you should save all your questions, and I'll be answering them via Sulia later.
There you go.
Oh, Jason. You know how to bring out the best in me, I tell you.
All right, sorry. Cedric Benson.
I admittedly surprised by the move, if not a little puzzled, and then I got it. I think you and a few others, I think it's fair to say, were a little more perplexed. But it sounds like you've kind of come around on this deal. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think my concern, if I'm the Packers, is not based on talent. And I'm not, in my opinion, not trying to split hairs here, but I would be of the belief that Cedric Benson is extremely talented, but he doesn't know your system. He's got 2,800 touches compared to 1,600. He has had problems off the field in the past. He is certainly coming off three 1,000-yard seasons, but he's also coming off 12 fumbles over the last 2 years. And he's not a very good pass protector. I mean, there's if you put a – I don't know about you guys, but when I make an important decision – and it's not a slam dunk one way or the other. I'm a list maker. I take pros and cons, and I write them all down. And, you know, usually if the pros column is longer than the cons column, I usually end up doing that. And in my opinion, there are certainly pros in his columns. There's also more cons, in my opinion. But, you know, to me, this speaks more to the – I don't want to call it foolhardy, but the riskiness of having put your faith, and we talked about it plenty in the offseason, putting your faith in James Starks, who hasn't been healthy since his junior year of college, putting your faith in Alex Green, who has looked good in camp, but is on a limited pitch count, putting your faith in Brandon Sane, who, while everyone seemed to like him and hold out hope that he was the next Brandon Jackson, you know, there's a big difference between Brandon Jackson, a second-round pick, and Brandon Sane, an undrafted free agent. He played the Big Ten, but clearly he wasn't viewed highly enough to have been drafted. I think this is more of an indictment of at what level they prepared at that position, and that's why we've seen a running back signed and an offensive lineman signed, I think.
Right. Well, I totally got the Reggie Wells signing. That made perfect sense to me, especially as thin as they were at left tackle and as poorly as the guy showed, especially in the game. I guess with the running back, it's like Aaron Rodgers said, do they need to run the ball? I mean, they barely
I think they do. I think they do to salt away leads.
Right.
I think that's where it would be valuable.
Right.
But beyond that, no. I mean, he's right. They could – and – you know, they only have three healthy running backs tomorrow night, as everyone knows.
Right.
They could just throw the ball a bunch. They could easily do that. Their short passing game certainly substitutes for the traditional running game. My struggle with this is more twofold. One, the question marks that come with Cedric Benson and the lack of, you know, Ted Thompson doesn't usually leave a position light, and I just, you know, for whatever reason, they put, you know, I'll never forget at minicamp talking to Alex Van Pelt, who's the new guy,
right.
And he says, well, James has got to play 16 games this year, you know, he's just got to. Well, yeah, but he's not gonna. So.
All right, let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. Nick Perry, supposed to come in and add some, to use the coach's phrase, juice to the front seven in the pass rush. You look at Chandler Jones, you look at Melvin Ingram. These guys were kind of destroying people. Now, granted, Melvin Ingram kind of went against some trash there at left tackle for the Packers, but they really were causing havoc in the games that they played last week. Nick Perry seemed a little less explosive, but he definitely seemed solid. Do we think he's just kind of transitioning slowly from having his hand in the dirt in college, or is he just you think this is kind of what we're going to see from him?
No, I think it's the transition. Melvin Ingram, I mean, I know he put his hand on the ground some, but is he not a more natural linebacker? I mean, did he not just look like he had played the position? And I understand that when you're rushing the passer, the difference is not that vast. I mean, yes, 2-point versus 3-point, I'm sure
right.
Aaron Campman would spend all kinds of time enlightening us on the difference and why he hated the change. But I like what I've seen from Nick Perry. Now, he has, in watching him in practice, watching him at that rookie orientation camp and the few OTAs we got to see, he looked fundamentally uncomfortable dropping. I think he's gotten appreciably better. I think he said it best, though. He says, am I comfortable? I'm comfortable. Comfortable enough? Well, we've still got some time, which to me says no. So, he certainly flashed on the sack. Now, I don't think that it had to be 4 seconds, right? I mean, the ball was held.
He definitely had to hold the ball. Yeah.
So that certainly helped in that regard. But it also helps to go against Herb Taylor if you're Melvin Ingram. So I think that they're going to be happy with him. The group that I'm anxious to see is when they go either Psycho or Bat,
right.
And they go and put a bunch of linebackers on the field. I want to see if Desmond Moses ends up there. One of the things that I want to write this week is about how Desmond Moses fared on special teams last week was significant,
yep.
Because that was one of the areas where he's got to improve and show that he can do the job if he's going to be on the 53 and then on the 46 on game day.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if you talk about guys who are making a push, I mean, you've got Lattimore, you've got Brad Jones having a solid week of camp, I mean, or practice it anyway, and he looked pretty good in the preseason game. You talk about the Psycho package, you're going to have lots of moving parts there. The big problem, obviously, is Desmond Bishop going down. If you've got DJ Smith, a guy who obviously got some experience last year, having to step up and man the middle there with A.J. Hawk, do you think this will open up maybe a chance for a guy like maybe Brad Jones or somebody else down the depth chart to maybe get in situationally? Or do you think they'll just hand it to DJ Smith and let him run with it?
No, well, I think that they really like DJ Smith. I mean, there's a few folks in the blogosphere that I follow very closely, and then there are a few that I don't. And I saw
there's
some
only a few.
Tweet,
what?
And one of them was something about how, and I don't know who this is, I don't read the site, but I saw the tweet because I have a tweet deck column with my name in it in case anyone's MFing me on Twitter, I'd like to know. But he said, well, I don't know why everyone's so worried about Desmond Bishop. Jason Moldy only had him as like the 20th most important Packer or something like that. And again, I think the reason why it's not catastrophic is the reason why I had him where I did, is because I think DJ Smith can play. I think he showed it last year. There's some measure of track record, whereas when he went in last year,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, sixth-round pick, undersized from a smaller school. I mean, Appalachian State's not tiny, but still. And now we've seen what he's capable of doing. So I guess I kind of felt like this is a guy who can step in if they lose Bishop for a few weeks. Now, they've obviously lost him for longer than that, most likely the whole season. So now we're going to see if those of us who like DJ Smith turn out to be right. But when Dom Capers likens him to Sam Mills, and not just because of his height, I think that that resonated with me. Because yeah. I don't think Dom is the type of guy who's going to draw that comparison simply because they're both 5'8", or whatever they are.
Well, I was when you were just talking about Appalachian State, I was about to say he is the Packers' Sam Mills. I think he's got that potential. He's got the athletic ability. He's got just that draw to the football. I don't know what, it's that horrible cliche, but, the guy can play. I mean, I think there's some rawness there, obviously, but I'm excited to see what he can do. What I'm not so excited about is the question mark they have at corner because of the fact that they have moved Charles Woodson to safety in the base. Now, stick with me on this, because I know I'm probably the only one on earth who thinks this, but I hate they're moving Woodson to safety in base only. I hate it. I think they should find a safety and leave Woodson at corner. I know I'm the only one who thinks this, but I think this is a case of where they outthink themselves a little too much, and I'll let you talk me off that ledge.
Well, I don't think that we can necessarily say that you're flat-out wrong, which we normally can do.
But that's standard operating procedure. Yeah. We're well aware of that, Jason.
I think there's a couple of layers to that, obviously. Is he better in the base at safety than he is out at corner by himself? I mean, as much as I like Charles and as much as I respect him and as great of a playmaker as he is, because he tilts the field, I thought the Carolina game was the quintessential example of where he is as he approaches age 36. He made some terrific plays on interceptions against Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. He also gave up 156 yards of receiving to Steve Smith. I mean, he's not the Charles Woodson that you lock down the opponent's best receiver and you never hear from that receiver all game. Mm-hmm. That said, especially given the way the league has trended toward the tight end, I think he's their only guy that really can effectively cover a tight end.
Yes.
It scares me to see A.J. Hawk there. Even Desmond Bishop, who I think had improved significantly as a coverage guy, I don't think that they have good matchups.
There. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And so, and again, this is a defense that plays their base, 20%, 25%? I know they want to go more dime all year long. Which, again, leads into how do you feel about your corners. I mean, I just keep going back to when Woodson came on the show and said that he's more than happy to move to safety if he feels confident in the corners. Huh. And they didn't really ask him to move to safety. They told him they were moving him to safety.
Right.
And I don't know how he feels about the corners. I mean, a week ago, Sam Shields was maybe the story because he wasn't playing very well, but you had Jarrett Bush, Sam Shields, Devon House, and Casey Hayward all to choose from. And, now obviously two of those guys are down with injuries. I'm not sold on Brandon Ross. I did a post on that, which I know there are certain members of the Twitterverse who shall remain nameless who'd be thrilled to see Brandon Ross have a huge year because he's such a swell guy to them. But he
Is this breaking news? I'm lost on all this intrigue. Is Brandon Ross on Twitter?
Yeah, he apparently had a run. Was it with Colleen? I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway,
herself. Oh no.
Yes.
Oh dear.
I don't know the background.
That I'm doing the whole Bleacher Report thing, I'm totally oblivious to all this.
You have 31 other teams to cover.
I know, right?
That's true, and we miss the focus on the one team out of that
group. True.
Nah, no.
Miss it. I know Wildy does.
I do. Partly because that means he doesn't listen to the show quite as often because he's got other stuff to do. But, anyway, Joe Witt says that Brandon Ross is in that mix. I guess I hadn't really seen that when he said that the other day. That took me by surprise. So we'll see if he turns out to be right. The only thing I know about Brandon Ross other than his Twitter disagreements is that he had the pick six against Rodgers in Family Night last year.
Right. Right.
Beyond that, he hasn't really done much to get my attention.
Pulling back a little bit on the defense as a whole, I heard something this summer that kind of caught me by surprise, and I haven't had the chance to look into it or write about it or do anything about it, but I just wanted to get your take on this, see if you'd heard anything similar. I talked to someone who, I guess, posited the theory that Dom Capers, and I think they came to me because I tweeted that if the pass defense doesn't significantly improve this year, Dom Capers is on the hot seat. I think that's kind of a no-brainer after all the talent infusion they've had on that side of the ball. Have you heard about anything regarding some dissatisfaction in-house with Dom Capers? Someone came to me and said that there were numerous instances last year where things broke down. I mean, we all saw the breakdowns in the coverage, but things were too complicated far too long, that they didn't get things corrected. Kept seeing the same mistakes, and that there was frustration within, I guess, the organization or within the coaching staff.
I've heard some similar things. I guess my feeling on that all year last year, though, was that it was a failure of personnel. I mean, I don't think that their scheme was too complicated for the players that they had. I don't think that Dom's scheme suddenly became ineffective. I know there's some folks who say, well, after he's been in a place a few years, those teams figure it out. I'm not sure I buy that either. Again, you take away Colin Jenkins, and you take away Nick Collins, and I know it's the next man up and all the other stuff, but Colin Jenkins wasn't taken away by an injury. That was by being thrifty with their money. Mm-hmm. And they could have signed him to the Eagles contract and then cut him loose this year if they wanted to. Because the Eagles certainly had that at their disposal this year. I find it hard to believe that there would be people that would be too disappointed in Dom when I think Ted Thompson admitted that it was a failure of personnel. He may not have said it, but when you go out and throw a bunch of defensive linemen, and you take six defensive players in your first six picks. So I'll say this for Dom. I think that while he's old school and still draws up plays on pieces of paper and gives them to Scott McCurley to enter into the computer, I think he's smart. I think at 62, he's still very sharp. I just think that, you know, I remember Leroy Butler getting mad at Fritz Schirmer at times. I just think that when a defense isn't functioning the way it's supposed to, it's very easy to say, well, it's something wrong with the scheme. But I know this, the guys that preceded him as the defensive coordinator certainly got guys very frustrated with their decisions and whether they were aggressive or not. And I think they were probably a little more deserving of that criticism.
All right, I got something for Rounder 78, who must be new here. He's asking, when is the guy on the right going to talk? So, Corey, why don't you ask Jason a question?
The guy on the right?
Yeah, that's Corey Behnke.
I have the video up, which is, you know, it's totally throwing me off because there's a bit of a 7-second. I don't know if you're worried I'm going to curse or what the deal.
Yeah, you're on a major Janet Jackson delay, Wilde.
Just in case.
I don't think anybody wants to see any sort of wardrobe malfunction from me.
No. So Corey, talk.
Training camp. Jason Wilde. You get to go.
He's
every
not
day.
The best color guy in the business for nothing. Monty, anything to add?
What do you think of training camp? What's come out at you right now since you've started going to training camp beginning of this year? What's the biggest thing that sticks out at you?
Well, first of all, I still can't get over, and I hate to use the word easy, but how easy it is. I mean, the guys are out of the dorms starting now. They're at the team hotel tonight before the game, and then they're done at St. Norbert College, which is fairly typical. But, like, there was part of the new CBA, it's what got Chad Johnson in trouble. Mm-hmm. Certain veteran players were able to go home even sooner than this. And then you look at the practice schedule. Now, it's been, I think, serendipitous for the Packers that this lighter schedule has come along at the same time that they've just been decimated by, other than Bishop's injury, non-season-ending injuries, but a lot that put stress on your roster.
Right.
It's hard to believe that despite all these safety precautions and limits that they put on pads and everything else, that they would have this many injury issues. But You know, there's been a couple of guys that have really stuck out to me. Maybe I'm alone in this, but I really think Graham Harrell has taken a big step forward, and I thought he didn't look very good early on in San Diego, but then he got in that two-minute drill, and he looked kind of like the guy we've seen make some throws. He made this throw. I think everyone wrote about it.
yes, they did.
He made a back shoulder throw to Nelson that went like 35 yards in the air on a rope. And it was the night that it was the veteran select practice when Rodgers didn't practice. And if you didn't know that Rodgers wasn't there and you just looked up from your notebook and saw the end of the play, because this happens at practice all the time, you're trying to look around, who threw that? That was 12? You would have thought that throw was by Rodgers. It was a perfect throw. Now, you know, there's a big difference between doing that for one play in a practice and doing that consistently. But I think he's taken a significant step forward. I know our friend Bill Huber wrote a story, talked to his trainer, and that, you know, the trainer who worked with him all offseason, their goal was to make sure that he wasn't viewed as a noodle arm.
Right.
Well, I think he was viewed that way before, and I think he's starting, just like Matt Flynn did after 2008, to kind of shed that label.
Speaking of Matt Flynn, just to make you feel at home and talk about something other than the Packers, has your boy John Schneider said anything? Has he tipped his hand? Has Matt got this job locked up now that, you know, he started last week, he's going to start again this week? I mean, the whole Russell Wilson thing is fun, but, you know, that's Matt's job, right?
Yeah, and to make me feel at home, we would have to start talking about musical acts from Seattle, not about the football team in Seattle.
Right. We'll get to that.
But, I don't know. I'm not sold on Pete Carroll as an NFL coach. I know, you know, that he has experience at that level. I know how things went in his previous attempts at being an NFL head coach. I think it's nice, this whole idea of bringing the college enthusiasm to the pro game. I would be curious to know if John Schneider had gone to Seattle like Reggie McKenzie went to Oakland and was able to hire his own head coach and do things his way, which of those guys would be on his team, which ones wouldn't, and who the head coach would really be.
I agree with everything you just said, so it's kind of hard to debate you on this point. Let me ask you this. Somebody on the live blog just asked, what's up with Finley? And that's a good question. I mean, we had the concussion early on in camp, and now is it a bicep injury that he's working through?
It is a quad.
Do we think this is just, you know, one, two, kind of, they just kind of happened, or do we think he's overtrained maybe a little bit in the offseason, or what's going on there?
Yeah, do we think he's jaking it a little bit? Yeah, I don't know.
It is Finley, Mr. I'll sit myself down if I want to last year. So,
you know, Domofsky and I talked to him the other day, and it's interesting because, you know, I sincerely like JerMichael, but sometimes it's hard to kind of figure out exactly what he's trying to say. Like when he told us that he was going to do more freestyle and didn't want to play like a robot. I think what he meant was he needs to get to the point where he doesn't have to think so much.
But that's
reliant on learning the plays better, taking the reps in practice, and those are things that he's not doing right now. So I don't know how much freestyling he'll be able to do. So, you know, his point was that he's got big things ahead of him, and so he doesn't want to risk a major muscle pull in training camp. So says he's going to be back at practice next week. He's going to play against Cincinnati. It's almost like he sounded a little bit like, whether it's Charles Woodson or Clay Matthews, where the coaches will say, you know what, we know what this guy can do. We'll get him a little bit of work, but we don't want to risk them doing something that's going to linger.
Right.
But I don't know if he's I don't know if he's at that point yet. I mean, you know, you're talking about a couple of guys who've really proven just how great a players they are, and I think he's kind of on that next cut where he hasn't quite proven everything that he should have by now. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know how it's played out in the training room. And I don't know how much of it is him saying those things and the trainers actually having said, look, we don't want you to push this quad because if you pull it, you're going to be out for a while.
Makes sense to me. All right. You've been more than a gentleman and a scholar with your time here.
Yes.
Freaking almost a full half hour with Jason Wilde.
It's amazing.
Where else are you going to get that? Oh, you get it every day at ESPNMilwaukee.com, plus another half hour.
But you don't get to talk about the Packers.
Though. No, that's true. That's true. This is the only place you can hear Wilde talk about the Packers, who he covers on a daily basis. Speaking of covering the Packers,
I would just say in our defense that since there's been a slight change in format, there has been a little bit more discussion of the football team that we cover.
Fantastic. Speaking of covering the Packers, what do you have lined up for the rest of the week? You know, obviously the big game tomorrow night. What are you going to be watching? Storylines you're going to be pursuing maybe in the next couple days that people can check out at ESPNMilwaukee.com.
Well, let me ask you guys something. How much do you think Aaron Rodgers should play in these games?
Very little.
I listened this morning, and I have to say, I'm absolutely with you on this. I think he needs to play. If we saw anything last year going into the playoff game, hello, Rust. You can't deny it. Sure. You cannot deny it. The guy, he needs to play. And this offense, I think it's not so much that Rodgers himself needs it. Rodgers in the offense needs it.
I think that's very well said. I want to. That's to me. That's. We can talk about the corners. We can talk about DJ Smith.
Right.
We can talk about Graham Harrell. But to me, I want to see what that number one offense does. It's my number one thing to watch. I'm going to post a little while here. You know, I talked to Tom Clemens for a while about this. I just, you know, they did not look good. And part of it was Herb Taylor's fault, but we can't blame it all on Herb Taylor. So I want to see what the number one offense does, and I want to see how the NFL MVP looks, because that number one offense in – I think Tom said they had 15 plays and they had 2 turnovers and 3 other mistakes. I mean, that's just for a team that put up the second most points in NFL history. I would think that they would want to get things righted in the 3 or 4 series that they play tomorrow night.
And to be fair, I mean, last week was without Jennings and Finley, and will be so again tomorrow night. So.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and the like can step up their game.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about James Jones, and I get, like I said on Twitter yesterday, I get so many people want him to trade him to Miami for 2 first-round picks and Cameron Wake.
Exactly.
But I know the stories that you've done and others have done about the possibility of trading him in the past and that there wasn't any interest. I watch that running back position and I think about how good this offense is and thank God they can't be trading away any of their weapons, no matter how desperate Joe Philbin and the Hard Knocks guys are.
I couldn't agree more. Jason, great as always. Thanks so much for making the time. Jason Wilde with ESPN Milwaukee. Thanks so much, buddy.
Hey, anytime you guys need me, take care. Be good.
Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's how we roll here on Packer Transplants Live. Of course, it's not just live. We're also available replay on the website after the show is over. Also available, download the podcast on iTunes or on the website itself, cheeseheadtv.com. Corey Banky, show 100 in the books.
We actually have one more thing, though.
Oh.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
The return of that venerable series!
Oh, yeah.
Corey, I hear there's some new changes.
New changes.
Coming to CheeseheadTV.com.
Coming to Cheesehead TV. Yep. Get ready for it.
What can people expect?
Everything. There's going to be a lot of good. No. We're going to have a redevelopment. Hopefully, nobody will even notice it. They'll just have to sign up for an account, and everything else will play itself from there. That probably won't happen, but that's the goal.
No, these people have watched Packer Transplants for too long to know that that is not going to be smooth. That's not how we roll.
One day we'll make a time lapse of the first show next year. Next year we'll make a time lapse of Everything It Takes.
Oh,
but,
good Lord.
So, yes, redevelopment. I'm excited. Excited to see what people think of it. Hopefully it will make a better community and, kind of wrap distill what we're trying to do on the website even further and make it like an even better fan experience. And, you know,
we're going to get you drunk.
Lots of things.
That's what it is.
Yeah, there's going to be, you click a button and it
quick. Before we go, is there anybody on the live blog, and we'll cut this out of the podcast because that'll be boring, but is there anybody on the live blog who's in Green Bay, wants to go to the game tomorrow night, but doesn't have tickets? Mm. Throw your name up on the live blog. Let me hear it. Because I happen to have procured for Cheesehead TV two tickets to tomorrow night's preseason game. If you're in Green Bay, if you're hanging out, if you're around Green Bay, you want to drive up, let me know right now on the live blog, and they're yours. Yeah, I'll just wait.
Well, with the new live stream, it's a little bit behind because it works.
Exactly, that's right, because we have the delay.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the delay so that Wildy wouldn't take his shirt off and expose
We don't want
young
any,
viewers.
We don't want any
listeners.
Craziness happening on this show.
All right, look at that. There it is. We got Chris Burke. I got it.
There you go.
Chris Burke, you're the man. All right, Chris Burke, I will follow you on Twitter. DM me your full details of your address. We'll chat on Twitter. You're going to need your name and your ID when you pick them up tomorrow, but we'll chat. That's what we do here.
Wow.
We give away tickets
to
the game.
I wish I was going to Green Bay tomorrow.
I know, me too. But we're here in New York City, so we want people who are in Wisconsin to be able to go to the game. So there it is. Show 100 in the books.
Oh, thank the Lord.
And that's it. We're done. We're never doing another show again. Smoothest it's ever gone. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, of course, to our guest, Jason Wilde from ESPN Milwaukee, joining us and talking some Packers football.
Yes.
Thank you, Corey Behnke, for making all of this work. It's amazing. I love doing the show. Thank you, Livestream, for letting us use your studios. And thank you, most of all, to all of you for joining us here at Packer Transplants. You are the community that makes this work. We love you guys coming here every week during the season. We will be off next week. I will be in Cape Cod on family vacation. But we will return the following week, and then we'll be here hopefully many weeks as possible throughout the year. Lots of fun stuff coming here at CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for checking out. Download the podcast. Check out the website. We'll see you soon.
Later.